It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
What a hectic night. Does the video look a little different now? Black Friday. I got myself a little early Christmas gift, a Sigma camera lens. Replaces my Sony stock lens. I still have to make some more tweaks and adjustments. We're supposed to be able to go 4K. Imagine looking at this face in 4K. But I'm going to work on that. I am annoyed. It is right now 8.05 p.m. on Sunday night, the 4th of December. I hadn't eaten nothing since about 10 o'clock this morning. I was laying down, vegging out a little bit. We decided, you know, we're going to order sushi. Rather than cook, we'll order a little sushi. Now, I don't eat fish other than, you know. I said, all right, let me get myself a chicken tempura roll. I get some avocado. We order at 6 o'clock. Gets here by 7. Gives me an hour to eat, shit, shower, shave. I kid you not. This shit arrived 5 minutes before I went live. Called them up. The fuck is taking so long? You're 5 minutes from my house. Took them over an hour and 45 minutes to deliver simple food, man. So I can't even enjoy my dinner right now. You see what you're doing? You see what you're interrupting right now? How's everybody doing? How's your weekend going? Sit Down with Yours Truly is here. I want to thank you for everyone who's live that's going to participate in what we discussed tonight. And for everyone who is on the recap, you know, the replays, it's interesting week coming up in the world of pro wrestling. Big news over the last week, I think, was mostly William Regal. And it was a week ago that we had that conversation as far as what was going on and where this was headed. And it seems like everything is exactly how we expected. And listen, I think it, when everything is said and done, I hope William Regal, on his podcast, statement somewhere, William Regal pays a little tribute to Tony Khan, you know, appreciation for allowing him to get out of his deal early, provided that it goes down smooth and it happens, you know, until we hear from the source's mouths, you know, there's always that possibility of things being wrong. And I hope Tony Khan shows a little bit of love towards William Regal, because William Regal, in the short amount of time that he was there in AEW, he did more than what Arn Anderson and Jake Roberts and Tully Blanchard and a hell of a lot of veterans outside of Sting has done for AEW for 3 years. I really enjoyed William Regal's presence, not only in the commentator's booth, but even, you know, as the leader or the godfather of the Blackpool Combat Club. So, you know, very, very fun 9 months of William Regal on AEW TV. They definitely got their money's worth. You know, we don't know how much he was paid. You know, I've heard some numbers. I'm not so sure if they're true, but they definitely got their money's worth. He did a great job. So, all right, enough of me rambling. What is the Sit Down for anybody who is new? Every Sunday night for about an hour to an hour and a half, I sit here and I let you talk. I let you ask the questions. If you have any comments you want me to share with everyone, I do that as well. Super chats never required on this channel, but always appreciated. Believe me, they go to good use. And we'll always get VIP treatment. Shout out to Dream 101. I don't know if he jetted out early yesterday, but he sent me a super chat talking about Sheamus and Gunther one more time at WrestleMania. I actually did answer at the end of yesterday's show, but just in case he might have jetted out a little bit early, I would not mind seeing Sheamus and Gunther at WrestleMania one more time. You know, they put on two awesome matches this year, and it feels like a feud that could have gone much longer. And you know what? Especially under Triple H heading creative, You know, don't rule that out of the question. You know, look, I expect at the Royal Rumble, I expect Brock Lesnar and Gunther. I shouldn't say I expect it. I hope that we get that moment during the Royal Rumble match where Gunther and Brock Lesnar are in the ring together. I mean, what do people still bring up? And it really wasn't that big of a deal. Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. I mean, it wasn't a big deal at the time because Keith Lee was not being pushed the way we were hoping he would. But that few moments of Brock Lesnar and Keith Lee is something that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we'll still bring up. And my God, if Gunther gets to land one of those chops to Brock Lesnar, oh, that's going to be epic, man. That is one of the things. When we get into the preview the week before Royal Rumble, that is one of the things I'm bringing up. I got to see Gunther and Brock go at it for a minute, and I got to see Gunther give him a chop. I got to see Brock Lesnar as red and as pink, like a newborn baby's ass. Brock Lesnar, ever see how his face gets pink? It looks like a newborn's ass. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what his chest will look like? M-Hawk is asking, did I get my booster and flu shots? Yes, I did. I got the COVID booster and the flu shot about 4 to 6 weeks ago. And listen, we don't talk much on here about politics and COVID anymore unless you all ask for it. But let me make it clear. You know, I've gotten 4 shots, not including the first one. So technically 5 shots. And what I noticed is as each shot happens, the side effects get less and less and less. So, you know, when you first get that first COVID shot, you know, your body doesn't know what the hell it's taking in. And your body inside is like, the fuck are you? Who are you? Hey, I'm your bouncers. I'm your security team. You know, if we get that gang COVID invade your body, you know, I'll be able to kick some of its ass. I might not do a great job, but I'll be able to do something. And then by shot number 5, you know, your body's like, you again? The fuck out of here. We got plenty of you. We don't need no more. It's like that. Oh, no, we're not going to go there. The person who shows up and tries to sell his illegal DVDs for some reason, always a certain nationality. Hey, wait a minute. If I could talk about Italians selling fur coats in the back of a truck, I could talk about an Asian woman who walks into my office every couple of months. You buy movie? You want movie? You want the movie? $5. You want movie? $5. If she was Italian, then I would be saying right now, hey, how you doing? You want a movie? Give me $5. So, you know, people get so triggered at such dopey shit these days, man. All right. Damn, that food looks good. See what you interrupted, man. Chicken tempura. See, I haven't fixed the autofocus yet. See, like when I zoom in, it's supposed to show like really, really good clear. So I still have a lot of tweaking to do. I connected the lens. I didn't have much time. Problem is I got to do it at nighttime. You know, if I do it during the day, you know, most of my shows, I do them at night. So there's no sunlight coming in. So if I start tweaking settings in the afternoon, oh my God, it'll be a disaster by the time it's showtime. All right. This super chat came in right before we went live from Sticky Fingers, Frank. Thank you very much for the 10 spot. Hey, DT, I saw a conversation online I wanted you to discuss. I'm only 26, so I was too young at the time. Too young for what? But in 1998, when they were in their prime, was Goldberg versus Austin a dream match then? 1998. Well, I'll say this. Goldberg was a freak of nature at the time, a phenomenon. Very, very few words, you know, spoken. No, remember, we're talking 1998. 1999 is when Goldberg started to get a little bit more animated, a little more vocal, doing interviews, TV appearances, celebrity, you know, appearances. So in 1998, you know, and this is straight up, and, you know, I was doing my hotline at the time. It shows you how old I am. The reasons why people compared Goldberg and Austin from the get-go is because of their look. Goldberg, Austin, bald heads, goatees, black trunks, no shirt. You know, the only Goldberg didn't have the denim jackets or, you know, the other attire that Austin had, but there was a lot of similarities. Believe it or not, you know, and I'm doing a spur of the moment, but I don't recall on my hotline or even people that would leave messages, I don't recall people calling Goldberg and Austin ripoff. There was definitely similarities, no question. Well, understand, too, at that time, wrestling in a pair of trunks was not all that ordinary. It was ordinary. You know, everybody had extravagant outfits, but, someone just wearing a pair of trunks, you know, not out of the ordinary. So it was a fantasy match for some, but I think it was more because of the look. Goldberg's repertoire was nothing like Austin. Austin was a ringmaster, no pun intended, you know, before he turned Stone Cold. So when it became a fantasy match for a lot of people? When Goldberg was the focal point of WCW, he made it to the mountaintop, and Steve Austin was the focal point of WWE. You know, just understand at that time, Austin was not there alone at the top. You had The Rock, you had DX, you had a lot of participants. But, and look, WCW too. I mean, Goldberg was not at the top alone. A lot of the veterans certainly was not going to allow that. But Austin Goldberg, you know, it definitely was a fantasy match at the time. But I think in the early stages, it was because of look more than anything else. You know, their in-ring work was nowhere the same. All right. So for everybody who's in the chat room that would like to participate, if you have a question, just write in capital letters the word question before it. If you have a comment you want to share, write the word comment. Just helps me spot a little bit quicker. And, we'll get into it. By the way, the mailbag, this is your last chance to take part in the poll. It's on the community section. Do we do one mailbag a month? Or we do four very small ones, one each week. And right now, it's almost 50-50 as far as the voting goes. So majority rules. If it rules in favor of doing smaller but more frequent Q&A mailbags on Thursdays, maybe what we'll do is we'll test it for a month and we'll see how it goes. Because quick mailbags is like 30 minutes and out. So we'll see. But vote. Majority rules. All right. Chaos, good evening to you, my brother. My top five singles wrestlers in the world as we speak. I can't give you a top five. I will answer it, but I can't give you a top five because, you know, top five is perception. And some people rule it strictly on work rate. If that's the case, they'll put Okada in there. People would not even put Roman Reigns in the top five. Roman Reigns is a character, a persona. You know, Roman Reigns, you know, a lot of his matches, they're pretty much the same arsenal. You know, you look at Gunther, Ilya Dragunov, you look at, you know, some of the wrestlers in Japan, AEW has Bryan Danielson. So, you know, as far as top five, the criteria is different for a lot of people. If you ask me, who do I think are the top five, you know, just overall box office in the world right now, I would go Okada. I'm not doing number one. I'll just give you five and you could all choose who's number one, who's not. I would never choose Okada as number one because Okada, it's pretty much Japan. You know, Okada comes to the United States and sorry, the ratings did not move at all. You know, if Roman Reigns goes to Japan, you know, you might have, you know, a big, you know, spectacle put about it. So it would be disrespectful for me to choose number one or number five, but I would say Okada, Roman Reigns. We don't have to put an AEW wrestler. I would not put MJF. MJF has only had a couple of matches for 2022. He hasn't had that many, you know. And listen, MJF's first Dynamite appearance as world champion, the ratings went down. So Moxley, as far as a box office draw, all right, I could say he's earned top five. Okay, I'll give you Moxley for top five. Matt Cardona, yeah, to 200 people. Yeah, listen, Matt Cardona, I have newfound respect for that guy. He totally reinvented his career. Matt Cardona has more stock now than he did back in his woo-woo-woo days. But Matt Cardona is not a tremendous box office draw. You know, it's not even close. You think Matt Cardona is going to sell even 5,000 seats on a regular basis? Maybe 500. Will Ospreay, you know, that's just the United States really clamoring for him to be a regular star in the U.S. Will Ospreay is great, but, you know, we're talking about box office. You know, women, you know, who do you put as far as the women's side? Is it fair to put Bianca Belair in the top five? You know, I mean, it's really, really tough. You know, there's not too many. Some people think Sami Zayn deserves to be in the top five right now because of how over he is. No, he's very, very popular, and he is, you know, totally reinvented himself as well. I mean, look, his match with Johnny Knoxville, you know, if it wasn't my favorite match of the night, it was right up there. And Sami Zayn showed a lot of love for that match. And, you know, you look at the old school wrestlers, they cringe at stuff like that. So, you know, as far as women, I would love to put Rhea Ripley in there, but she has not had enough matches for 2022. I think Rhea Ripley, by this time next year, could very well be in the top five of all women in wrestling. She's got it, man. And you know what? I know people will always compare her to China because of her physical stature and the fact that she wears black and leather and, you know, things like that, and she could beat the fuck out of men. And that's not a negative thing. Being compared to China, you know, I don't want to throw shade, you know, because she wasn't a bad person. And I got to know some of her family members. And, you know, she really just, you know, drugs did her in. But Rhea Ripley's being compared to China, not compared to Joni Lara, if you understand what I mean by that. But I think a year from now, there's no reason why Rhea Ripley should not be in the top five. She's doing a spectacular job. So, Michael Gonzalez, any memories of December to Dismember? If you're talking about WWE shit, all I remember is that it was bad. It was bad. ECW being recreated. Let me tell you something. In 2006, not five. Five was awesome. But in 2006, when WWE was reinventing their version of ECW, a lot of us were excited, man. ECW was always my favorite promotion of all time, and it probably will always be. But, you know, when they just did where they look, one of my closest friends who is no longer with us on this earth is a Trivial Pursuit question. Who is the first wrestler to appear? And I've said this question a thousand times over the years. I take pride. He's my friend. I miss him. Who's the first ever ECW wrestler to, you know, to perform under the WWE's ECW banner? And that is the Zombie, Timmy Arson, you know, and, You know how cool that was that day? I mean, you know, listen, of course, it was a horrible gimmick, and it was ridiculous to have it in ECW, but do you realize how cool it is, me, a nobody, with a wrestling hotline, at that time, doing a little podcast. I think we were already doing podcast, and then Matt Zombie's blowing up my phone. And he's trying to get in touch with me now. Matt Zombie, if anybody remembers, you know, that's a guy you probably don't want to get very close to. And he's blowing up my phone. You got to call me back. You got to call me back. You got to call me back. So I finally called him back. And he's like, you got to watch ECW tonight. You're not going to believe it. You got to watch ECW tonight. And I tune in and I see fucking Timmy Arson, my fellow hotline host, my friend, coming out. The first ever person in WWE's ECW. You know, I kind of cried a little bit. Then once the night was over, man, he was getting destroyed online. Oh, man, he got hammered. And then people found out, like, wait a minute, that's Timmy Arson? And then we got it on the hotline, too. It was surreal, man. Very surreal. AS7607, good evening. WWE posted this question on Twitter. Who is the greatest WWE champion? Who would I say is the greatest WWE champion? If you're talking about WWE this generation, probably have to go with John Cena. I know that will piss off some people out there. I'm not talking about the Hogan era or the Bruno era or anything like that. If you're talking about this current generation, John Cena still has to be at the top of the list. Very, very polarizing person. You know, I mean, even at times where the majority of fans just did not like being force-fed John Cena, they would use the term polarizing on TV as like a way to justify or a way to try. No. The fans, he's just polarizing. But in hindsight, you realize how important John Cena was. And listen, he had some pretty epic feuds during his career, from Randy Orton to Edge, and we could go on and on and on. I would go John Cena, number one at the list. John Cena, number one. Roman Reigns, you know, he had 4 or 5 years that, you know, even John Cena, when he had his problems, the women and the kids were still into that guy. And, you know, listen, when he feuded with JBL, you know, I still have those infamous, you know, photos from a photographer that was never public when he bled. I mean, yeah, there are some photos online, but I have some custom ones that I look back at those photos and I'm like, oh my God, the amount of blood that he spilled. And, you know, even that, you know, sometimes when somebody has a really, really like bad match or really like gets busted open hard way and just continues and fights through it and still battles, you get a lot of respect after the match is over. John Cena, I remember saying on my outline, I'm like, wow, the fans still ain't fucking buying into this guy. And it was pretty weird at the time, you know, but John Cena has to be at that top of the list. Absolutely. All right. Let's continue the questions. Again, question before your question and spread it out a little bit. If, you know, if I already answered something, wait a little bit. And, yeah, we'll start. How long are we going? 25 minutes already? All right, time flies when you're having fun. Looking at dinner. Nah, I will not. People are saying, yeah, eat, take a bite. Take a bite. It's like sex. As soon as you, like, get into it, you think you want to be teased? You think you ought to keep being interrupted with a telephone ringing or the doorbell? No, once you start, you ain't stopping. If I bang into that shit, that's it. That's it. You'll have 5-10 minutes of growing up Don Tony videos while I chow down. All right, Benjamin, why was Robert Roode like the Triple H of TNA but kind of bland? Robert Roode was never the Triple H of TNA. People perceived it for some reason. I maybe his physical stature. Robert Roode in TNA was pretty damn good, man. You know, a lot of people forget Robert Roode was an awesome tag team wrestler in TNA. You know, it's just in recent years, Robert Roode has been more of a singles wrestler. Yes, he's teamed up with Dolph Ziggler, but people seem to forget Robert Roode's first half of his career. I never looked at Robert Roode as the Triple H of TNA. Yeah, I'm with you, Gruss. Jeff Jarrett was like the Triple H of TNA. And even that was kind of odd because Jeff Jarrett was behind the scenes, you know, executive, you know, at times part owner, you know, financial interest. Triple H, back in his day, even if he did work in the office, he might have owned stock, but I owned WWE stock. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't that deep financial stake other than the fact that, you know, his wife's family owned the company. But Triple H, you know, there's not too many people you could compare him to. But Jeff Jarrett's TNA run, you know, at times it was good. At times it was, you know, hey, I'm you know, going to put my, you know, it's not on the level of like a QT Marshall. Why is that motherfucking main eventing Rampage Friday night? You know, it's like, because they got to reward themselves for doing what they do behind the scenes. But no, I'm not comparing Jeff Jarrett to QT Marshall, but Jarrett's puts it. And listen, in a business standpoint, you got to realize this too. Jeff Jarrett trusts Jeff Jarrett. Some wrestlers who have a financial stake in a business sometimes will go to the people that they have this deep trust for. And especially in a day and age where there's always cutthroat and there's always somebody trying to take someone's position or somebody's job, you know, it's not always kumbaya, cake and ice cream, smile, epic, amazing, you know, great vibes. No, people are battling for stature, money, advancement, you know, career. They don't want to stay on the sidelines and do next to nothing. But so Jarrett, you know, he would go to the people that he would trust. And in a way, that's kind of smart for your business. But as far as wrestling fans go, that might not be the right formula. So Fly, can I bring back some of those trivia segments I used to do? Not for prizes, but just for fun. Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. I'll incorporate it here and there. It's, you know, if we get something going on in the world of pro wrestling, we could do like a Who Am I or something like that. You know, when someone, in fact, I actually was going to do that a couple of weeks ago for Isla Dawn. But, you know, NXT UK, I understand 95% of American wrestling fans never saw Isla Dawn, didn't know what she looked like, you know. So, you know, I'll pick my spots. But, yeah, we could do that. Rocky Red says that 1 year ago, Sami Zayn was chumped by Brock Lesnar and jobbed to Roman Reigns. Today, he is the hottest thing in WWE and in the main event storyline with a bloodline. What a year. Absolutely. You know, that just goes to show you, when the stars align and you have, not to get sidetracked, but Kevin Owens, you know, when he cut his promo, not this past Friday on SmackDown, the Friday, actually, no, it was Monday on Raw, when he said that he's not mad at Sami Zayn. He's, you know, he's just, one comment he said was, you know, one thing that made Kevin Owens truly happy was that the world finally sees how big of a superstar Sami Zayn is. And storyline or not, that comment, it can't get any more real than that. You know, some people, Sami Zayn himself, some people always felt Sami Zayn could be that next level guy. And, you know, given the storyline, given the time, that's the thing. One thing you got to realize, time. You get time, and time can create magic. You look over the years of people who have turned it around and gotten to the pinnacle and stood there. What do they all have in common? Time. That's why, you know, in AEW, not trashing AEW, but that is one of their biggest problems. They don't give enough time. They throw a little seed out there and then they forget about it for 3 weeks. And then they throw another little seed out there and then they forget about it for 2 months. And then the next thing you know, something, you know, off and on is going on. And then they finally pull the trigger on it. And then people are like, oh, long-term booking. And then the funny thing is, you look at Hangman Page when he won the championship. Oh, long-term booking. You look back in reflection. Was Hangman Page one of the greatest AEW champions of all time? Was his run memorable? Is he one of the top wrestlers of today? I would kind of disagree with that comment. Time. You give time, and time will... Austin Theory lost 32 of 35 matches, but people only looked at stats, only looked at the losses. They didn't look at the quality of the matches. They didn't pay attention to the promos. They didn't pay attention to his reactions to the fans. They didn't pay attention to his character, you know, being developed. And the losses kind of kept him in check. And then suddenly, you know, you see where he is now and people are like, holy fuck, you know, where did this come from? Well, time. They gave him time. The briefcase gave Austin Theory additional time. Because if Austin Theory didn't have this briefcase all that time, there'd be no gimmick attached to it other than the selfies. So you remember the thumbnail I posted about 7 months ago? I photoshopped Austin Theory over an unconscious Roman Reigns, and I wrote too soon. I definitely think a lot of you out there should take a few moments when you're bored and look at my thumbnails in 2022. And you look back on it, and you know maybe they're not the greatest quality, and I'm still learning how to make them and do everything myself. But you look at Force Fiending Honor that was put up there 8 months ago, and you look at the Austin Theory stuff, and you look at Bryan Danielson, will he ever be AEW champion? You look at, you know, the stuff with CM Punk, that they people were going to ultimately crucify that guy. You look at the Andrade stuff. You look at Blurred Lines versus Sloppy Shop. You look at the year and thumbnails, and it's kind of mind-blowing how spot-on they were all were, and they developed over time. All right. Sami Zayn, the Oos movement, the Oosie movement, will never be as big as the Yes movement with Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson, you know, nobody was holding back Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, you know, may not have had a lot of titles in the last couple of years. He had a few, but Sami Zayn did a pretty good job. Sami Zayn had some, I mean, I think people forget that whole storyline with, you know, Johnny Knoxville. You remember when he was in his bath and he's getting all of prank calls and his number is in the, I mean, he got a lot of pub out of that, a lot of publicity. But Sami Zayn, people beloved because he is the catalyst. He is the opposite of the attitude of the bloodline. People know that Sami Zayn, sooner or later, is going to get jumped. And you know who will probably be the first one to jump him? Solo Sikoa. You really think about it. Sami Zayn is he's a lovable guy. But Bryan Danielson, it was just a movement because at that time, especially that Batista made his return, still very much the older as far as who was pushed and the, you know, the template of what a, you know, major focal point superstar, world champion, put the ball behind, you know, Bryan Danielson. Daniel Bryan was not that template. And the fans forced that template to be made. And it was something that was so unique and special, you're not going to be able to recreate it. No matter how hard people try, you'll never be able to recreate it. Sami Zayn's push to the top. And look, I don't even know if Sami Zayn will ever be world champion in WWE. Could happen. But no, Sami Zayn's Oosie movement won't even be close of what Daniel Bryan's Yes movement was. And that's not a knock on Sami Zayn. It's just there's been so many years since the Yes movement. And we look at Bryan Danielson now. He's a little bigger in size. You know, he is throwing out bangers. He's no longer retired. So we kind of expect Bryan Danielson to be at the top of the food chain. At that time, no one expected it. I don't even think Bryan Danielson ever expected it. And no, it's not even close. All right. We're going to start bringing this home soon. So let's dish out those questions. Shout out to Mikey. Thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more on Monday, you know, about Roman Reigns and a few other things. You know, him versus Kevin Owens, I don't have an update yet as far as the Royal Rumble, but there are discussions that they could have a Hell in a Cell. And this might be Triple H's way of backing up what he said after the War Games in the press conference, that some of these gimmick matches are better suited for a particular feud and not the month that a pay-per-view or premium live event takes place. And, you know, Hell in a Cell forces the bloodline to not get involved. They will in some capacity, but as soon as I get an update on that, I'll let you know. Vincente says, Solo Sikoa must have been happy Kevin Owens interrupted the Bloodline promo on Raw. Solo Sikoa, you know, they don't want him to show emotion. You know, he's just there with his arms folded, you know, stoic. You know, once in a while you get a little grin. If you pay close attention, especially in the backstage segments, you'll see a little grin, you know, but they want him to be the serious guy, unpredictable, stoic, neutral. And, you know, in the end, I think Solo Sikoa is going to break Sami Zayn's heart. In the end, Bloodline is Bloodline. I know some people are lobbying that Solo Sikoa should remain, you know, loyal to Sami Zayn, but no, that's Kevin Owens' spot. You know, we don't need Solo Sikoa to go against the Bloodline. Hey, you know, down the line, I'm sure Roman Reigns would love to be able to have a match against Solo Sikoa and vice versa. But nah, that wouldn't make sense. All right. So Fly is asking, who is my biggest I never saw him becoming a star moment in wrestling? Guy or girl who I didn't see the potential that blew up big? Poof. That's loaded. You know, you're going back how many years watching wrestling? 43 years? I mean, I don't know. Somebody that I didn't see live that became a megastar? I don't know. It's hard to say. There's nobody really. I mean, back in the day, you know, when they were force-feeding certain people like Maven and others, you know, you'd be like, why? You know, like some wrestlers over the years you see on TV, and I don't like throwing names out of people today because they're still trying to find their niche, but there's sometimes you see people on TV and you scratch your head and you're like, I don't understand it. Yeah, you know who's one? I'll give you one. Iman, before I give you mine, everyone, Iman, he says nobody's seen John Cena. I have brought this up at least, no joke, 20, 30 times over the years. Linda McMahon was part of a conference call around 2001, I would say. I think around 2001. Might have been early 02. But, and I have the audio somewhere. Linda McMahon was on a conference call with a quarter financials, and she talked about how WWE had two up-and-coming prospects that they believe are the future of the WWE. And the names that she threw out was John Cena and Randy Orton. And that was before we saw them in dark matches. That's before they ever debuted on WWE television. They felt they had something big with those two guys. And think about it. You know, we don't like bringing it up now, but, you know, still, Randy Orton had a dishonorable discharge. You know, it may not be that big of a deal for some, but, you know, that was a controversial hurdle to get over, you know, back in the day. That was actually a big, big news story. And could you imagine if social media was around in 2002 like it is now? You know, people would have been doing everything possible to bury Randy Orton before he even got the opportunity. But the one person that I would say right now is Baron Corbin. He's still not a main eventer. I don't think he'll ever win heavyweight title in his future. But that's a guy that for the last couple of years, I scratch my head. I see 150 people released, and I say to myself, how does this guy escape it? Oh, and I look, this might be more of a compliment than anything else. I kept saying to myself, how is this guy escaping this? You know, he's not this big, let me make appearances, don't bully, and this and that. He's not this giant role model like Titus O'Neil. You know, like, I keep thinking to myself, like, how does this guy keep escaping and still getting opportunity? And look where he is now. And he's not doing a bad job. But it is baffling the last bunch of years that he survived all of those cuts. It's almost mind-boggling when you think about it. Baron Corbin is good at getting heat, but, you know, he gets go-away heat. He gets that old X-Pac heat, which is a little unfair on X-Pac. But, you know, it's so bad that he actually, didn't he go on Sam Roberts and try to claim that there's no such thing as go-away heat? I mean, that in itself is one of the dumbest remarks in the last 10 years. There is a such thing as go-away heat. Go-away heat is simple. Somebody is in the ring. Oh, I'm going to go take a shit. I'm going to go get a knish. You know, I'm going to go put the wash in the dryer. You know, and you have no interest in watching that person, hearing that person. Oh, good, let me channel surf. Oh, the lottery number's coming up. Let me change the channel. That's go-away heat. When you immediately feel that you want to go and watch or do something else while that person is performing, that's go-away heat. Simple. Dana Brooke, why is she escaping? I could see the argument there for Dana Brooke also, but her pay grade is very, very low. I have asked in the past, how much does she get? You know, she does not get a lot of money. Plus, she does, you know, do make outside appearances for WWE. So I can't throw any shade on Dana Brooke right now. But, you know, again, and listen, for anybody that loves Dana Brooke out there, nobody's trying to throw shade on Dana Brooke. Look at it like this. When you see other people, other women who have been released by WWE in the last couple of years, you say to yourself, wait, how many times have people said it? How do you release so-and-so, but you keep this person on the roster? You know, that in 2020, we must have heard that for like 10, 20 different people. So-and-so's released, but they keep this person. You know, it is what it is. All right, moving on. We're at 42, everyone. I'm not rushing to get out of here, even though my chicken tempura is starting to look a little sketchy. It's all right. When the avocado turns brown and it looks like Vanessa Del Rio's private parts, that's when I know it's time to throw it in the garbage. Swerve Strickland. All Iman had to say is Swerve. Swerve Strickland has become in my top five favorite AEW performers. That motherfucker has got to get the TNT championship. He's got to get a title. They got 95 titles. That guy needs some gold. Seriously. Swerve Strickland has, even though some of the segments are goofy, and we talked over the weekend, you know, that we may see a new trios team form at the AEW Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view, final battle. Swerve Strickland has become one of my favorites. That guy, he's a character. And listen, you know, if you ever get the opportunity, you know, he's always on the indie circuit and he's killing it in the ring, you know, but that's a guy that I truly think, you know, when his contract is up with AEW, I think WWE is going to snatch him up. I think they're going to, you know, they're not going to break the bank on the guy, but they realize, you know, look at Hit Row the last couple of weeks. I mean, can we honestly agree now that a lot of Triple H's signings of Vince McMahon recent releases, they have not all panned out to what people perceive it to be? Like, people make these thumbnails and they show every person that Triple H has re-signed. And I look at the thumbnail and I say to myself, you know, with all due respect, with the exception of a couple, you know, some of them just aren't working. But, you know, you look at Hit Row, man, could they use Swerve Strickland. I don't think WWE should release Hit Row. You know, AJ Francis is still very, very new in this business. And they definitely could take their time. But I'm serious. They get Swerve back in there and he shows up, take him to another level. Because he could pick up the ball wherever it's needed. Yeah, Benjamin says it perfectly. Got to give them time. Got to give them time. And time is camera time. You know, it's not just longevity of their career. Oh, give them 2-3 years. Because listen, we brought it up last week without renaming names. There's a lot of people who have been in AEW now for 3-4 years. And you look at them and you're like, I don't feel like, you know, this person has really developed in the last 3-4 years. By now, they should be able to, you know, really carry their own. And, you know, when WWE is only given 6-month ultimatums amongst some NXT stars, you know, could you imagine getting 3-4 years in AEW and you're still kind of like where you were in 2019? You know, and a lot on the women's side. Without naming names, a lot of women on the women's side. Some of those women have been there for 3 years. You look at them and like, what are they doing? Like, I don't see any progression whatsoever. Not all, but some. Oh, no. I do not want Hit Row back in NXT. Oh, no. To feud with who? Oh, no. Hell no. All right. Shout out to KD, the WC, tuning in live tonight. Hope you're having a good weekend. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I can't believe tomorrow's Monday already. This freaking weekend flew so fast. It's kind of like pissing me off. But let me know. Listen, how does the video look? You know, because I still have to make a lot of tweaks. But, you know, I'm using a Sigma lens now. This is something that someone had told me for about a year. Like, DT, get rid of this fucking Sony stock lens and get a Sigma. And I connected it earlier, but like I said, I couldn't do too many tweaks because it was daytime and too much sunlight in here. But when everything is done, you know, people are going to start super chatting me and saying, what's this? What's that? What's this? You know, people are going to see things on my face. They're going to be like, what the fuck is that? $10 super chat. Hey, DT, what's that fucking mole on your face? Shave that mole. There's a fucking piece of hair growing out of it. Yeah, the lighting looks a little better, and that lens is supposed to allow a little more light, too. So that's another thing. I actually was able to lower the lights a little bit, so it's not like 100 degrees in here. So little by little, we'll tweak. All right. Yeah, there's a couple of KDs in here. We got a couple of KDs. Sonya Deville should be with Ronda and Shayna. You know what? For a while, I thought WWE was really going to start building trios teams. And we have some. I mean, there's no question. Legado is a good example of one. And the Brawling Brutes. But it feels like WWE is tweaking it now. If you see a lot of trios out there, one member of the trios is like the big dog. If you really look, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, one person, it seems like that they have a little bit bigger of a push. So, you know, it doesn't feel like we're seeing trios being developed equally. I don't think, somebody asked me earlier, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who posted it earlier, but he asked, do I think WWE will create a trios championship? And my answer is no. No, I don't think so either. It's kind of like what TNA was with the six-sided ring. Just because TNA did it and it would look great and it was unique, you know, doesn't mean that WWE should also have a six-sided ring. And there were rumors. There were people trying to push that shit. WWE considering six-sided ring. Oh, hell no. Pro wrestlers, even when I trained, you know, for that short amount of time in the school, and, you know, somebody, I don't remember who from TNA was there as a guest trainer. Who the fuck was it? Ah, was it Red? It might have been Red of the SATs. Amazing Red. Guy used to love my hotline back in the day. Amazing Red. Still have his promo he cut for us. But I think it was him that a lot of the guys in TNA hated the six-sided ring. It threw them off. Because, you know, you run the ropes and you do moves and you do spots, and, you know, you're used to the schematics, you know, and even like you race a car and you go around a certain track, you know every little detail of every turn and every little aspect of it, And now, you know, you're in a six-sided ring. And then that weekend, Bill Behrens books you to work in Iowa. That's a four-sided ring. And then the week after, you're back in a six-sided ring. And now you're on, you know, Texas Wrestling and Ribs performing. You know, it throws you off, man. So just because AEW chose a trios title doesn't mean WWE does. I don't think WWE creates a trios championship. No, I don't see it in the next 5-10 years. I don't see a trios championship being developed. So, Indigo, what's up? What are my thoughts on people who ignore the ratings for AEW whenever they do, when it's below? Wait. What are my thoughts on people who ignore the ratings for AEW whenever they do below a million? You know, I said this last week. You know, AEW is not stupid. They appreciate all the love and all the excuses that people try to give online. But you should never be content. You should never make an excuse. If I go on this scale and I'm 5 pounds heavier, I can't turn around and say, well, I drank a gallon of water overnight, or I ate some salty Mexican food, and I'm just retaining water. No. If I'm trying to lose weight, that scale should never go up at all, unless I'm holding something inanimate in my hands. These ratings go down, get into territories we haven't seen in a year or two, and then somebody says, well, you know, it was this, or, you know, no, well, this was on TV, or no, well, you know, in 3 days it's a holiday, whatever. You're like, stop making excuses. You know, people are always out there trying to make an excuse, trying to justify why 100, 200, 300,000 people, you know, decided for this week, you know, and I'm not going to watch AEW live. You know, when you look at the numbers and you see that a million extra people wanted to see CM Punk's debut on Rampage. And a million people, now I never thought 1.4 million would be the norm for Rampage. I always said 600,000-700,000 should be, you know, the norm, 600 at the lowest. But, you know, when you see that they're down 150,000 compared to a year or so ago, you know, there's no major shift. There's no, well, you know, there's this new streaming service out there called Schmuck TV, and everybody watches it on the archive there. You know, there have been changes. You know, I see people bringing up WWE 10 years ago to now. Well, 10 years ago, we didn't have a lot of the streaming services. We didn't have video on demand like we do now. We didn't have a lot of, you know, options. You know, especially you go back 20 years, you know, you get the replay of Nitro right after. So, hey, I watch Raw first and I watch Nitro after and I go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. But unless you set your VCR, you know, you weren't going online and watching online. Jesus, with 56K modem and what was it, Real Video? Oh, shit. You know, you were fucked, so you had to grab that shit or record it or something. Now, you miss it? Yeah, there's people posting YouTube videos. You know, they increase the speed 20-30% so they don't get flagged. So you just go into YouTube settings and you slow your video down and you watch it. You know, so, you know, people always trying to make excuses, and I hate that. That's why I don't even like focusing on demos. You know, what would I rather have? You know, 500,000 viewers and a big chunk of them at 18 to 34 or 18 to 49. Well, I'd rather have 1 million viewers. And there's a lot more like elderly people and kids watching as well. Guess what? I got 1 million people showing up. I got 1 million people that could possibly order a shirt or a pay-per-view. You know, when you see a baseball stadium and it only fills up with 3,000 people and it holds 30,000, you don't see anybody saying, but they're all 18 to 34. You know? No, they talk about, look at the fucking attendance. Only 3,000 people showed up. They don't, you think they stamped the tickets? Oh, female, male. Oh, look at the crowd. It's all college people. No. You know, you want as many people to watch your product because each person that watches. Yeah, but a kid, you know, kid's not going to order a pay-per-view. You know, a kid, yeah. No, but the kid could say, Ma, I want All Out, Full Gear. Ma, please, bah, you know, keep my allowance. Shit, give me a million people, especially elderly people. Hey, you're going to die in a month. Put it on your credit card. If you die, you're not going to have to pay the bill. Just fucking charge it. Pay $5 off a month. Just buy. I want as many people tuning into my shit as possible. People online make me, they make me laugh. They make me laugh. This doesn't make me laugh. This makes me say thank you. E-Dubs Harris with the $10 super chat. Much love. Thank you. Did I hear the story of Brock Lesnar possibly signing with TNA and TNA turned it down? Yes, I did. Would I pitch a Brock? Could I pitch a Brock in TNA? Do I think he would have been as big as he was in WWE? Oh, Kurt Angle put this out there, for those that don't know. Back then, Brock Lesnar, listen, he may be a simple man and a very private man, and in some cases a violent man who likes to hunt and eat his meat. Hey, honey, Sable, get the barbecue sauce. Look what I just shot. Here, there you go. There you go. Make sure you take all the feathers off. You know, he's not a dumb man. When he left WWE, if he could get TNA to give him the Miro contract, look at Miro. You see now, I mean, God bless everybody out there that now are like, where's Miro? Where's Miro? Fucking we were saying that 8 months ago, 9 months ago. The Redeemer! You saw that a mile away. So if I'm Brock Lesnar and I could get a deal in TNA, I want some of that. Hey, I'll work 10 dates, $100,000 a match. Sheesh. Fuck yeah. And TNA, give them credit. We're not giving them that money because I think at the time, you had the X division, you had the smaller wrestlers. It would have been really difficult to book Brock Lesnar in TNA. Yeah, he would have had a tremendous feud with Samoa Joe. Would have had another feud with Kurt Angle. There are plenty of people that Brock Lesnar could have feuded with, no question. But it would have gone against what TNA was doing at the time. You know, Kurt Angle was one of the few exceptions. When he came in there, yes, it was a major upgrade, but he fit in like a fucking glove. Brock Lesnar, I mean, it would have been so one-sided with his matches. I don't know if Brock Lesnar would have helped all that much. I mean, look, I really believe that if Brock Lesnar would have been in TNA at the time, we'd be looking back on his TNA career right now and saying, you remember that feud he had with Samoa Joe? Holy fucking shit. Do you remember when he did this? You remember when he had the feud with Abyss? Holy shit, Abyss did things I never expected Abyss to do. He might have even went up against Sting a little bit. You know, Brock Lesnar would have been great in TNA. But for TNA and what they were trying to do, I don't think he would have fit in, not for that kind of money. They were not. And listen, you know, without getting too controversial, if any of you out there ever get the opportunity to interview some guys that were big TNA stars at the time but were lower in the food chain, ask them what they were making in TNA. You realize it now, they probably would get more in super chats if they just twitched a particular night. A lot of those wrestlers were getting very, very little money. I remember all the Bill Barron shit that Mass Maniac and I went through when we were trying to book some people for TNA. And when we started being told what some of the wrestlers were getting, oh my God, I could have paid 10 TNA guys to wrestle in my backyard and just do whatever, just for my enjoyment. And it wouldn't have broke the bank. But Brock Lesnar, it's like, do you want to drop all that coin on one guy that could kind of interfere with what we're doing? Or could we take that money and not only spend it on 20 other guys, but I could pay myself a little more. And I could pay my friend a little more. And they weren't giving him the money that he wanted. But I would have loved to have seen Brock Lesnar in TNA. Hell yeah. I would have bought in for that. Absolutely. What's this? Is this a code here? Crazy Cruiserweight. I saw the numbers. I didn't see your name, and I was like, is somebody giving me $5 just to, like, spam me? But, okay, he posts this. Okay, 2021, $898. Well, actually, let's do this in order. 2019, $663. 2020, $712. 2021, $898. 2022, $880. Remember when we were still in COVID in 2020, the excuse was everyone was at the bar drinking. Bam. 1,000% correct. There's always people making an excuse. And it'll always be. It'll always be an excuse for something. I choose to ignore those people online. I see what's written every week. You don't think, I just saw Dave Meltzer, and I love Dave Meltzer. But I just saw him on his Twitter. It was either him or Brian Ave. I'm pretty sure it was Dave Meltzer. And he was bringing up an AEW Rampage, an AEW rating. Might have been, no, it was Rampage. And he was comparing it to when Rampage was on a different day. Might have been a Saturday afternoon because of Memorial Day. And I'm like, you're basing a 2022 rating that trending-wise fits where they're going down to an out-of-the-ordinary number Memorial Day from a different year. Now, me, I just choose to look the other way. I didn't say anything. I didn't write anything. Because I've learned, especially on social media, you make valid points. Nobody wants to see that. You know, I brought it up the other day with Lyra Valkyria. She's coming to NXT. And I saw Gail Kim immediately write, oh, look, you know, it's almost Taya Valkyrie. And I know why she was doing it. She loves Taya Valkyrie, and she's just showing support. But she doesn't understand that she gets all the blowhards and the minions that kiss up to anybody celebrity that are all now going after WWE, you know, for kind of like ripping off Taya's name. And I saw people sending to Gail Kim, because Gail Kim is the one that started the conversation. So they're telling, like, listen, Lyra's been using that name for years, since she was a teenager. You have other people telling others, look, WWE's not ripping it off. Look at this. Look at here. Look at there. And I watched every single one of them get ignored. And it's like, these people don't want to be told the truth. They just want a reason to complain and bitch. But you're spot on, Cruiserweight. Everybody blamed it on COVID, blames it on a TV show, blames it on warm weather, blames it on a playoffs, blames it on a debate, blames it because of a mass shooting, blames it because of a tornado, blames it because, you know, somebody died. No, it's just your viewers, a big chunk of them, have decided to do something else other than when your product is on. Simple as that. And he said, those are the days before the Thanksgiving ratings, what he posted. Thank you for that. Yeah. And look, you look at these numbers, they're not that off. I mean, 2019, AEW is still new, trying to find their footprint. But, you know, you look at 2021 to 2022, they're comparable. So instead of just leaving it alone, no, people got to find excuses for every little fart out there. You know, and it's just, look, it's all it's doing is just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. You know, a year from now, you know, what are the ratings going to look like? I think they're going to be pretty close to what they are now. I think it'll go down a little bit more. I think they could go down 10%. But even if AEW goes down 10% in the ratings next year, it's not a major loss. The networks seem to be happy with the ratings. I'm sure they expected higher. But and listen, make no mistake about it. Tony Khan always expected these ratings to be higher because in Tony Khan's eyes, you know, this is the greatest wrestling out there. We're giving you the greatest alternative. Plus, we're giving you so much diversity from comedy to real to straight to characters to wrestling to this, Japan and that. And you know, he thinks that he's giving the best product out there. So, you know, it's to him, it's kind of baffling why the numbers are what they are. But, hey, it is what it is. All right. We're going to wrap this up in about 5 or 10 minutes. So last call, if I could call it that. Rocky Red, could I see MJF having a world title reign that would last until the bidding war of 2024? No. No. Listen, I always am very reluctant to make this comment because some people will blow it out of proportion. When WWE did the documentary about the Monday Night Wars, I always remember a comment Chris Jericho said. And Chris Jericho said that once fans stop tuning into your product, you could have Hulk Hogan, you could have Bruno Sammartino, you could have every major wrestler in your company. Once they tune out, it is very hard to get them back. And no, I'm not saying that AEW's having any demise anytime soon, but the point I'm bringing up is this. MJF, for the hardcore AEW fans, they want him to be the leader of that company because through them, they could be vulgar, they could be nasty, they could say things they would never be able to get away with on social media. They want someone, they want MJF to be that vulgar representation of them. The problem is, for a majority of wrestling fans out there, they just want to be entertained. I brought up the polls last week. I saw numerous polls from Twitter to Gerwick to Observer to a lot of other places. And almost all of them were similar in the results. Which pay-per-view did you like more? Survivor Series or Full Gear? And for the most part, it was 70 to 80% Survivor Series. You go back to Full Gear, we had some awesome wrestling on there. We had some nostalgia. We had some returns. We had 4 or 5 hours. You got your money's worth. But still, in the end, people were just more into that storyline with the bloodline and everything they were doing. You have Ridge Holland in the main event. Who would have ever thought of that? Butch, which is awesome. We still got to do some Butch giveaways. I was looking at these earlier. JSA Authenticated as well. He's so nice. We're going to have to do it twice. Yeah, they're all JSA. But, you know, so the thing is, with MJF, we know what you get with MJF. MJF is a top-notch performer. But even he couldn't spike the ratings on Wednesday. All right, you know, maybe he's goes against the grain. Not like CM Punk, but CM Punk was the voice of the voiceless, going against the grain. We got, you know, this guy finally at the mountaintop, and it didn't spark any additional interest. Now, if he feuds with Bryan Danielson, I expect those numbers to go up. I think the number definitely will go up. But no, you do not keep the world championship on MJF. You got to feel what's going on. You got to feel the vibe, see the climate. Miro makes his return. If people in droves want Miro to be the next fucking heavyweight champion, you might have to do it. If people are sick and tired that Bryan Danielson does not carry any titles in AEW and the fans in unison want Bryan Danielson as the world champion, look at Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter is a rare exception that AEW finally gave a championship to, you know, someone that the fans wanted. The problem is, if Thunder Rosa was not injured right now, would Jamie Hayter be the champion? And probably not. So, you don't keep the championship on him. You could put the title on him towards the very end of 2023, and then gets interesting. But, it's all about, you know, business and ratings and who he feuds with. You don't want him to keep a championship and then he's fighting 10 or he's fighting fucking Allen Angels or Serpentico. Or, oh, wait, we got an upgrade. He's taking on Brody King. You got to feel it out. So, no. I'm a huge MJF fan. And even I would say no to that. Crazy Cruiser with another 10 spot. Much love, my friend. When a sports rating is low, you don't see fans of teams, writers, covering sports, or players ever blame it on other things. Why do AEW fans do it? Is Tony Khan to blame for this enabling behavior? Well, let's be fair. WWE fans did it in the past as well. Oh, Survivor was on. Oh, this was on. There's always people making an excuse. Tony Khan is responsible. And I'll tell you why. Tony Khan doesn't make excuses. Give him credit for that. He does not come up there and say, well, you know, we had some stiff competition and soccer was on. He doesn't do that. But what he does do is this. Whenever it breaks a million, or if it's in like ranked in the top three, he'll immediately go on social media and tout it. He'll go on a podcast and tout it. And whenever it goes above a certain number, he's out there and he can't stop talking about it. And people see that. So the minute it goes under, oh, Tony, don't get upset. You know, apparently it was very, very cold in the Midwest and a lot of people were snowed in and they just decided, you know, that they power outage. You know, no, Tony, there's a big volcano in Florida, you know, and there was 100,000 people without power. And Tony, listen, I ask all of you, how many of you out there know someone with a Nielsen box? How many of you out there know someone with a Nielsen box? Of all the people that I know right now, as far as I am aware of, two. I have thousands of friends, you know, not close friends. And as far as conversation over the years, I think there's only two that ever said to me, DT, I have a Nielsen box. So when you look at these numbers, you know, and there's always people trying to console. They feel like they got to console something. Instead of just saying, okay, 880, you know, all right, you know, we'll get 900 next week. Just leave it at that. Or just report 880 and that's it. You don't talk about it being good or bad. You just talk about it. They feel they have to console AEW like something is wrong. Listen, it's okay. It's all right. You know, there was abnormally warm weather in the Northeast. Everybody went out and barbecued. Who asked for the excuse? That's what people like to do. But you are spot on with that. And it is Tony Khan's fault. Because you don't see WWE ever talking about the ratings. Now, if you get an insane number for a special themed event, sure, you tout it. Survivor Series about it being the most watched of all time, you tout that. But, you know, you don't want to give that perception that you hit a certain number and the world cannot be any better. Everything is epic amazing. If you were in front of me right now, there's doves flying in front of me. I got a giant plate of ice cream in front of me. You know, I just had the most amazing sex in the world. I hit the lotto. You know, I lost 20 pounds since yesterday. You know, my bank account has an extra zero for no reason. You know, everything couldn't be better. You know, that's the perception. As soon as it goes over a number, he's out there that the world is in sync. And people take notice of that. It is his fault. All right. We're going to jet out of here in 5 minutes, everyone. Have I seen the Teddy Hart documentary on Peacock? I get this asked more than anyone could realize. I've gotten in so many emails because of the history with Teddy Hart. And it still blows me away how much he hated me years back. When that Sports Illustrated, I know I'm bringing it up again, but when that Sports Illustrated came out, and people like, DT, you're in it. I'm like, I'm in it. They didn't approach me. I'm like, yeah, no, he had something to say about you. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, listen, am I scared of Teddy Hart? I don't even know how to answer that. I'm scared of anybody who could be a fucking whack job. You know, it's physically, you know, he could probably stretch me, you know, but the thing is, and I'll say this, and this is the answer I've been giving. No, I have not watched the Teddy Hart documentary. I probably will not watch it. you know, if I get a $1,000 super chat to watch it, then I may have to change my mind, but that's not happening. Look, the reason why I don't want to watch it is this. To me, it's just Peacock trying to get some Dark Side of the Ring publicity. Everything that you watched on there is exaggerated to a different level. Is Teddy Hart a whack job? Absolutely. Does Teddy Hart do a lot of the antics you saw? Absolutely. But, you know, his comments, I don't give a fuck about Samantha Ritter. You know, you, go tell the investigators that. You know, like, when you say things like that and the network puts it in their commercial, that Teddy Hart is not stupid. He is a personality. He is a character. In his head, he is also an actor. So he is playing a character in this as well. That's part of what makes Teddy Hart. Oh, I'm working even Peacock. And meanwhile, Peacock is like, this is fucking epic. Oh my God, you got to put that in a commercial. And honestly, I don't have any respect for shit like that. You know, it's kind of funny to watch pretty intelligent people out there not realize that this is so grossly exaggerated for entertainment purposes. Did you see that documentary that came out about Queen Elizabeth? I think it was Queen Elizabeth's documentary. And I don't remember what network was it. Was it Hulu or something? They had to make a disclaimer saying, yeah, no, we exaggerated shit just for TV purposes. Like, they made up so much shit. Because just telling it like it is, see what I said about Twitter earlier with the Gail Kim stuff? Telling the truth and telling it like what it is, people don't want that anymore. People want to have their juices titillated. So that's what the Peacock thing is. You know, Teddy Hart, I have no interest in seeing him, you know, take his character and try to amplify it for entertainment purposes. And Peacock, to me, it's just a Dark Side of the Ring attempt. And I have no interest in seeing it. In fact, I'm a little surprised Peacock would have done that in the first place. Just goes to show you. Anything for ratings. Oh, you bet your sweet ass, Austin Nance. I will drop Maximum Male Model references wherever I can. I am a huge fan of Marseille and Mansoir. And if any of you out there have never watched their YouTube shit that they've been putting out, go check it out. It's pretty funny, man. Pretty funny. All right. Last two questions of the night, everyone. Byron Cutler, did I hear there are plans for a Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley Royal Rumble in a steel cage? Byron, who reported that? It's the same people that reported some of these other ridiculous. There are no plans of Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar in a steel cage right now. The plans are Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, Hell in a Cell. You're not going to have Hell in a Cell and a steel cage match. That's like, okay, you know, we're going to, you know, decapitate someone and then we'll have someone die in their sleep. You know, it'll water down the cage match. The reason why people are saying that is because of the unfinished business between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, especially at Crown Jewel. Listen, what people are doing right now is they are trying to come up with a match that people haven't talked about, and they throw it out there for attention, for hits. And if it just so happens that match takes place, then it could say, oh, you should be paying me Patreon money because, look, we reported it right. People are coming up with these match ideas. It's not based on news. It's based on hunches or what fans think that WWE Creative is doing. Could Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar happen in a cage? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it ain't happening at the Royal Rumble simply because a website claims that it is. If it happens, it happens. But no. Who is the website that did that? And 9 times out of 10, a lot of you out there can't even come up with the website. It's usually cut and paste from someone else. Did you see the John Cena, Logan Paul stuff? I threw the thumbnail out there that week. And everybody's like, oh, God, no. Oh, I don't want to see that. And I said, hey, you know, I heard, for real, I heard that WWE's thinking about that. And then what happens? The following week, Logan Paul goes on his podcast, and Logan Paul says he wants John Cena. Oh, gee, maybe I have a little reference to back it up now. So, you know, again, you know, these are people out there like, hey, I want attention. Let me come up with a match. Nobody is preparing, you know, didn't someone write the other day Gunther versus Roman Reigns or something like that? You know, people are just trying to come up with a scenario that they think is going to click. So, all right. And last but not least, Conan saying there's rumors of CM Punk coming to WWE. We've heard 50 places say the same thing. Conan, the difference is Conan has actual connections. Conan is friends with people in all different promotions. He is close with people in the know. And he heard that WWE is working on something to bring back CM Punk in the future. We'll see what happens. Right now, after talking about it with JD on Forbidden Door 3, I don't want CM Punk back in WWE. Because, you know, what happens if he pulls shit like this again? Now, I think WWE would kind of like feast their lawyers on him. I just don't know if, look, for a one-shot WrestleMania payday, all right, I don't mind. I'm not going to say no. But I don't know if CM Punk returning, you know, maybe NXT. And I mean that. Maybe if he wants to help the Stars of Tomorrow, NXT. Hey, you want to come back NXT? You know? So, yeah, no, Conan definitely has a lot more cred than anyone else. So if he's hearing that, yeah, I believe there are discussions going on. Listen, if CM Punk could still go, why would you not? I mean, there's no question CM Punk brought some additional viewers to AEW. So I'm sure some of those AEW fans, you know, breaking news, everyone, and I talked about this months ago, not everybody says fuck CM Punk. A lot of people agree with what CM Punk did. It might not have been the best, you know, platform to do it, but that was his only shot to get the message out there with everyone. What is he going to do, go on somebody's podcast and throw that out there? He did it, and he did it and got triggered because of all those reporters that were in that room that spread this shit. He saw face-to-face reporters that for 8 months blamed him for Colt Cabana being demoted to Ring of Honor. And then suddenly, after everything is said and done, Tony Khan just in passing, hey, yeah, no, it was me all along. It was me! It was me all along! You know, fuck is that? You know, it's just... So CM Punk, you know, there's a lot of people that actually support CM Punk for what he did, exposing a major problem in AEW. The problem is, if Tony Khan is fine with the foundation of AEW, if Tony Khan is fine with the management in AEW, if Tony Khan is fine with what the executive vice presidents do in and outside the ring, who are we to argue or fight it? How you fight it is you choose not to tune in or you choose not to spend money on the product. But if you want to follow AEW, you want to watch it, Tony Khan could fucking put QT Marshall and The Factory in every match on Dynamite. And, you know, you want to watch? Watch. You know, that's why what Billy Corgan said, you know, is true. You just don't say it publicly. When he said, hey, you people out there, if you don't want to watch it, don't tune in. Yeah, I mean, that's... Point taken. You make sense. Hey, you don't want to watch, don't tune in. But you don't ever want to say that publicly. You don't want to tell people, give them a reason to not tune in. You want to give people a reason to watch it. You don't do the opposite. All right, everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. Hope you enjoyed tonight's sit down. If you have any follow-up comments, questions, you could post it in the comment section. Or you could do one better. Go in the community section here on YouTube. You have until Wednesday morning to post a question, because Thursday I'm doing the mailbag, and we'll see what the results are. And again, if the results are to do a small mailbag weekly, then what I will do is every Thursday I will pre-record it, I will post it online. They will be short, but it'll be done weekly, and we'll try it for a month, and we'll see. If the demand is to cut it down to once a month again, or even twice a month, then we will. But I want it to be on a regular schedule going forward. So, all right. And if you don't mind, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, smash that like button, subscribe, become a channel member. And me, I am going to feast. Be well, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. after Raw. If you stick around, you might actually see me chewing.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it.
Drop it.
I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody.
I only dropped the four.
You don't like Don Tony.
Okay.
He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life.
Oh my God, why is
and
that
now,
playing so slow?
Now that's all over.
It's going to take like 9 minutes to
and
go
that's
through.
That's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.